God places life-changing treasure of the gospel inside of fragile people. Inside of fragile people. Why? So that everybody can see that the power doesn't belong to us, it belongs to Him. It belongs to Him. Father, this morning as we look at Your Word and as we look, God, in these next moments to what You would say to us, how You would say things to us, Lord, I pray that, God, that this preacher would decrease, that You'd increase in me, Lord, that Your Word would go forth this morning and accomplish what You set it forth to do today. Lord, that even from this fractured and cracked and flawed vessel this morning, God, I pray that You would leak out in this house this morning. That, Lord, You would touch hearts and lives by Your Spirit and from Your Word. And so, Lord, I just thank You for it. I pray, God, and give You in advance the glory for all that would happen today for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. And amen. The believer, you and I as believers, are simply jars of clay. We're just jars of clay. But it's the treasure within the vessel that gives the vessel the value. It's what's in the vessel. I've seen some pretty, well, yeah. I'll just leave that alone. How many of you have ever seen something that you just thought, man, there's no way, but yet inside there is so much value? Turn with me this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 7, and when you're there, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word. Unless you can't, you don't have to. Amen. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Lord, I pray this morning as Your Word goes forth, that it would accomplish what I feel in my spirit, Lord, that You have brought it forth today to do. God, I know there are hurting people all around. God, fractured, broken, hard-pressed, not crushed, perplexed, not in despair, persecuted, not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. God, I pray that you would shore us up this morning by your Spirit. Put a hedge of protection around us. Lord, our loved ones that are battling in so many ways for their very life, if not spiritually, physically. People having surgeries, even today, God, you would touch them, Lord. Yes. Be with those doctors. Guide them and direct them. For the lonely and the downtrodden, God, be their joy. Be the lifter of their countenance. May your face shine upon them today. And God, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Most everybody understands fragility. What it means to be fragile. I've never considered myself fragile till I had this operation. And when they told me, listen, you do not want to go through this thing twice, I listened. Because one round of that mountain was enough for me. And so I had to see myself as, well, it ain't going to be that big of a deal. I can just do it. I had to come to grips with the reality that maybe I should take somebody's advice this time. Maybe I should take somebody's counsel this time and do nothing like I'm told. I can't tell you how many times I went to go and do something only to find out that as a man, there's nothing that I can really do that doesn't involve picking something up, moving something, carrying something, shifting things from one place to the other. So I find myself over and over recognizing that maybe I am fragile. Never saw myself fragile before. Most people understand fragility. When I was putting this together yesterday, I had a flashback into my childhood, and we had a chandelier in our house, and it hung over in the corner, and my sisters convinced me, because it was like this fractured, it was like fractured glass. I can't really explain exactly, but the sides of it were super thin, and it had this steel screen around it, and it was dark in color, kind of a burnt rusty looking color, and it had lights on the inside of it, and the bottom and the top, the glass was really thick, but the sides, like I said, was really thin. And my sisters convinced me that if you took like a nylon and hit the side of that glass with a nylon, it would break it, it would fracture. But you could actually hit the bottom of it with a hammer and it wouldn't break. I may have tapped it a couple times. Maybe. We understand what it means to be fragile. I mean, we insure our phones, don't we? Some of us insure our phones. For sure, we protect our valuables. We label packages fragile, handle with care. Why? Because of what's inside, we don't want it broken. And so here's the... what I think is the crazy part. The Bible says that God intentionally puts His greatest treasure into fragile containers. People like us. People like us. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul describes humanity, you and I, as earthen vessels, ordinary old clay jars. Not perfect, with all kinds kinds of flaws and imperfections, the supremely valuable message of salvation in Jesus Christ has been entrusted by God to frail and fallible human beings, you and I. It's hard to imagine that. It's hard to wrap our head around it. But Paul's focus was not on the perishable container, but on its priceless content. What's on the inside? God's power is dwelling within us. How many of you have ever had something put down in front of you for you to eat, but you're not touching it until you know what's in it? That ain't happening. I've been through all kinds of buffet lines, and if I can't distinguish and decipher what it is, I ain't eating it. I am not. It might be something. Well, I ain't eating it. Even though we're fragile jars of clay, it's people like us that God uses to spread His good news, and He, in fact, gives us the power to do His work. And so then knowing then that the power is His and not ours is what keeps us from pride. That's why I pray, Lord, let this preacher decrease and You increase in me, because if he's not the one doing it, we're in trouble. It will keep us from pride, and also His Spirit will motivate us to keep daily contact with God, our power source. Our responsibility is to let people see God through us. What is the world seeing of Jesus from our life? It is quiet in here today. In the first century, clay pots were cheap. They were cheap. They were common. They broke easily. But sometimes they held great treasure. Have you ever been to a yard sale or an estate sale and bought some little something only to take it home and open it up and find that there was something of greater value inside of it? I remember when my mom passed away and us kids were left with the task of cleaning out her house. And my mom immigrated from England in World War II when they were being bombed, and she came over here as a bride. And so she knew the importance and the value of stuff, and my mom didn't throw nothing away. Them Greg's Golden Soft margarine containers, the little yellow ones, hundreds of them. We were just throwing them away until we opened one. To find out what was in some of them. Ruh-roh. She didn't throw nothing away. My mom wouldn't even throw tinfoil away. If you get done with a piece of tinfoil, it went to the sink. She washed that puppy up, folded it up nicely, and put it in a drawer. I hauled dump truck load after dump truck load after dump truck load out of that house of stuff that she had saved. It's what's in what she saved that caused us the most grief. I have no idea how much money we threw away. But I know we throw money away. So here's the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news. The gospel is the good news. Your life may feel cracked today. Your life may feel like it's worn today. It might even feel completely broken, but let me just tell you this morning, God wants to put His treasure inside of you and I. He wants to put the most valuable treasure that He has, His Spirit, inside of you. The life of His Son inside of you. Verse 7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. But what is the treasure? The treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the good news. And if the world ever needed some good news, it's now. It's today. Listen to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now this is a Gentile bunch of people. This is not the God's chosen people. This is the Gentiles. And Paul says to them that he wants to make known, that God wants to make known, that the riches of the glory are in them, Gentiles. That gives us hope. God's hidden message is not a puzzle that we have to solve. The reality, it's like a treasure chest that's filled with the riches and the glory of Christ. And the message is that the riches are available to the Gentiles. The reality is, those riches are available to every one of us. Every one of us. And when you begin to look at your vessel and you see that your vessel's cracked, you see that your vessel's fractured, don't get upset about that. God's using it. Here's the thing. If you'll keep filling your vessel, God will keep leaking it out. And the more He leaks it out, and the more you get back under His spout and get filled back up, the more He can let it leak out again. I've told this story a lot of times, but I can't get it out of my head this morning, about the grandpa that wanted to teach his grandson a lesson. And he said, I want you to get this bucket, and I want you to go down to the creek and get some water. And it was dry, and it was a desolate place. And so he began carrying pail after pail after pail of water from the creek to this little area that Grandpa wanted him to walk. And by the time he'd get back, the bucket would be nearly empty because it was full of holes. And so in frustration, the little boy says, listen, I'm just done. You know, I'm wearing myself out. And the grandpa wisely says to him, listen, don't be frustrated. Just wait. And so he did. And in about a week, that whole pathway that was dry, crispy old bunch of grass and weeds started turning green and flowers started coming up. Why? Because he'd leaked that water all along that pathway. Don't be surprised when God lets some of Himself leak out. It's not a puzzle. The fact is, these words would have been joyful to Paul's Gentile audience, that God was pleased to offer them salvation. I don't know about the rest of you, but I stand utterly amazed that God would want to save somebody like me. It is an amazing thing that the God of creation, the God of the universe, would die for us. That He would give His life. They were pleased to know that God was offering salvation to them. They didn't need to acquire some secret knowledge in order to find God. You don't have to be a theologian to receive salvation. You just have to want it. God has reached down to you and I this morning because He wants to save us. He has a purpose and He has a plan. And in your fracturedness, in your crackness, I know that ain't good vernacular, but it's the best I got. In your brokenness, God still wants to use you. If you stop allowing God to move in your life every time you feel fractured or every time you feel broken or every time you feel less than, you probably won't get much done for God. It's through those times that we have to push on. It's through those times that there's despair and all those kinds of things that we just have to keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I don't know about the rest of you, but there's been more than one day that I've felt like just crawling in a hole and pulling the hole in on top of myself. Because I'm just done. Frustration wells up. You don't have the answers. You don't know what to do. You can't fix the problem. So what do? You just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Amen. You just keep walking it out. Because if you don't, they didn't need to acquire some secret knowledge in order to find God. They just need to realize that God has reached down to you and I because He wants to save us. He wants to set us free. He wants to deliver us. There's other aspects of the treasure, things like forgiveness of sins, things like new life, things like the old things have passed away and behold, all things become new. So there's new life. How about eternal hope? We have an eternal hope. How about a restored relationship with God? See, the world is looking for perfect containers. How many of you know that? The world's looking for perfect containers, but church, God puts His treasure again into imperfect people like you and I. Listen, you don't have to fix yourself to come to Christ. You do not. Well, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people about the Lord, and a lot of them, well, I need to get this straightened out, and I need to fix that. No, you don't. No, you don't. You just bring all your mess and give it to Him. Yes. He'll take care of it. Hallelujah. He'll take care of it. Well, I got to quit this and I got to quit that. No, you don't. You just need to come to Jesus and He'll help you with that. Amen. He'll take care of those things. Amen. You don't have to fix yourself. You can come broken. He'll fix you. He'll fill you. He'll take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 says, we're hard-pressed. Anybody feel hard-pressed? We are hard-pressed on every side. Yet, we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Paul is describing the human condition as troubled, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. But I want you to notice something that gets repeated over and over and over and over. And it is this: but not. But not. Troubled, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. So here's the reason why. God has the power, and God gives the power to sustain the vessel. Picture yourself this morning on a bicycle built for two. You ever seen them? two-seater pedal bicycle? Tandem. Never been on one, but I can imagine being on one. And I can imagine sitting right up front. God's in the back. Yeah. You know why? Because He has all the power. Would you let me do the preaching? Thank you. That's the point. Thank you. He can sit in the front, do a way better job of driving, show us greater things, and still provide all the power for the journey. But we want to be in control. We got to let Him be in control. And when He's in control, He can not only take us places we'd never been before or even thought. He would take us on roads and places we'd probably just drive by. But when we say, God, you drive. You can provide all the power from the front seat. I'm just going to sit back here in this back seat. Do them pedals on the back part, do they always go? So I'd have to be like this. Because I don't want to get in the way. I get all tangled up in that thing. Put my feet up on the center bar or something and just ride along. And you know what? I don't think God has a problem with that. I think God is a big enough God that He can take us and guide us and lead us and direct us and provide all the power. His power is what sustains you and I as the vessel. And sometimes the places where you and I are the most broken become the places where God's grace shines the brightest. We have to remember that God said all things work together for good. Even the broken places, even the things that hurt, even the things that we feel like are irreparable, God's grace can shine the very brightest through those cracks. And in verse 11, 10 and 11, Paul says, "It's the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body." How is His life being manifest in our body? The gospel or the good news is not, it's not just information. How many of you know if you're watching the news, you're not getting much good news? You're getting news, but it's not necessarily good news. But the gospel isn't just information, it's transformation. God's looking to transform some things in our lives. Jesus didn't just die for you and I. He also rose again to live in each one of us, to empower each one of us, to guide us and to direct us and to bring healing and health and wholeness and all those kinds of things. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "Christ lives in me, the hope of glory." Here's what religion says. Religion says, try harder. Religion says, try harder. You got to keep working at it. You got to keep... No. The gospel says, receive new life. See, we talked about it on Friday night at our men's thing. There's a lot of people that are coming to church and have been coming to church for a long, long time. And there's not much difference from the day they came in to this day, even though it's been 30 years. Because we're not growing in God. We're not allowing God to do something in us and change us and transform our life. And it's a place that we've got to be. If Christ lives in us, He's not going to leave you the same way you've always been. I feel this morning like I'm here. My message this morning is that when Jesus comes in your life, When you allow Him in your life, guilt is replaced with forgiveness. Emptiness. Anybody feel empty before? Emptiness is filled with purpose. I have purpose now. And death is transformed into life. We were dead in our trespass, the Bible says, but Christ gave us new life. I don't know about the rest of you, but I think this is getting gooder and gooder. Gets gooder as we go. 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus. There's coming a day. Our faith stands as Christians on one truth, and that is that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive, and if Jesus has conquered death, the last enemy, then why fear anything else? Men do everything we can to pretend to penetrate the meaning of death and even prepare for it, yet the world doesn't have an answer to death. I don't know about the rest of you, but I know people that think when you're dead, you're just dead. Nope. We penetrate the meaning of death. Try and prepare for it. And until a person is prepared to die, you're not really prepared to live. What's that movie? There's a movie that this person gets diagnosed with cancer. And they're like, well, I'm going to die anyway. And so they just sell everything and they just start going out and they just start living. I mean, going and doing things that they would have never done before, going and seeing. Huh? I have no idea who's in it, but is that it? Yes. The Last Holiday. And this person just goes all over everywhere doing all these things only to find out that it was the wrong diagnosis. Why do we wait until we're about to die or think we're going to die before we start living? We protect our bodies, and I think that's a good idea. I think we ought to take care of the temple of God. But listen, we got to do some stuff. We got to get out of the boat. When I go to the grave, I want to go in there looking like I've been wore out, drugged through a knot hole, something. I mean, people need to know that I've been around. I've been bucked off more than one horse in my life. Been run out. Settle down. I've been run over by more than one cow. They will run over you. Until you're ready to die, you're really not ready to live. And the joyful message of the early church was that the victory of Jesus, the victory of Christ over death, and we need to return to that emphasis. Christ, death, Jake Hess sang the song, "Death Ain't No Big Deal." And we ought to look at it that way. It's graduation day. And here's the truth. Because Jesus Himself rose from the dead, death is not the end. Sin has been defeated and salvation is available today. Salvation is available today. Think of it like this. I've talked about this, I think, the last 3 weeks in a row. A seed has to be buried before it produces life. A seed has to be buried before it produces life. The sun's shining. It was out yesterday. It was a great day to be outside doing stuff, and we got a lot of things outside taken care of yesterday, but it also makes us start thinking about, man, it's about time to start planting a garden. If you're going to plant a garden, something's going to get buried. That seed that you put in the ground has to be buried. It has to be buried before it begins to produce life. And do you know the temperature of the soil has to reach a certain temperature before that seed begins to germinate? Crazy. That's why our grass doesn't grow like crazy in the wintertime, because the soil temperature is too low. As soon as the sun comes out and it starts warming that soil, better make sure the mower's running. Because it's coming. It's not going to wait for you. So what looks like the end in being buried is really becomes the beginning. Because after you bury that seed, a few weeks later, all of a sudden, bam, something starts coming up. And if something starts coming up, I got news for you. There's probably going to be fruit, or let me just use the word fruit. Something was going to be produced because of what you buried. So let's look at it this way. The cross looked like defeat. We get sad when we think about the cross. We think about what Jesus went through, the beating that he took, the way his body was absolutely abused, and we look at the cross sometimes like it was defeat, but it wasn't. It became the doorway to salvation. Without the cross, we have no salvation. We have to quit seeing the cross as a tragedy and begin to see it as the victory that it is. It's a triumph. The devil did not win when he crucified Jesus. It was It was the last nail in his coffin. Not that he's going to be in a coffin, but you understand what I'm saying? He thought he had won, but on the contrary, on the cross, Christ defeated death, hell, and the grave. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good. And in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, it says, "For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." We got to be telling people about what God has done for us. The gospel spreads person to person. Someone told you, now you go tell someone else. Remember when we had COVID? You had to stay away from anybody. You know why? Because you're contagious. Couldn't be around people. They tried to separate us. Would to God that the gospel would be so infectious in your life and mine that every time I got around somebody, they caught it. But that was weak. What would our world look like if the gospel spread like the common cold? Yeah. With his sights always set on the glories of God's own kingdom, Paul didn't have any reasons to be ashamed. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 declares that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. He boldly went on to, boldly and confidently, Paul preached the gospel, and he told others of what God had done. That's all you have to do. You don't have to have a 3-point outline to preach the gospel. You just tell your story. Tell somebody what God did. Get infectious. Smile. I remember there was a bumper sticker when I was in school that said, "Smile, make people wonder what you've been up to." I try and smile all the time. Some days I'm better at it than other days. Some days some of the stuff that I carry, it gets heavy, and when it gets heavy, it has a tendency to pull my smile into a frown. But we got to work at lifting them up. Paul all the trials and the difficulties that Paul endured was for the people's benefit. Don't let what you're going through discourage people. Let them know, hey, yeah, you know what? What's the old country song that says, if you're going through hell, keep on going. You might get through it before the devil even knows you're there. See, we got to keep pushing forward. We got to keep moving. We got to keep going. People will see how you handle what you're going through. As more and more people heard and accepted the message of God's grace, God's gift of salvation, more people would begin to join the grand celebration before God. John, come on. Thanksgiving, being thankful, begins to overflow towards God, toward what God has done. These are things that would benefit the Corinthian Christians, but I'm here to tell you this morning, they will benefit the Myrtle Creekian Christians as well. The Riddle Christians, the Canyonville Christians, the Days Creek Christian, the Douglas County Christian. Through our prayers, we participate with Paul in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by doing so, God ultimately is glorified through it all. Are you letting your little light shine today, church? Have you put duct tape over the crack that you're desperately trying to hide? I see these commercials on TV for, I mean, men's makeup commercials are getting just about as prominent as women's makeup commercials. Now they got this Nuvage or whatever, this some kind of stuff that men put on their face and takes away their dark spots and takes away their wrinkles and takes away the, you know, baggy eye set. I ain't putting it on. I'm just saying. I ain't wearing makeup. I've been through some stuff, church, and I'm not ashamed of it. God has sustained me all these years. He has sustained me. God will be glorified through it all. All praise and all glory absolutely belongs to Him. Because after all, He is the one who sacrificed His own Son to redeem you and I. He sacrificed Jesus Christ for the benefit of all who would believe. Here's the deal. We're all earthen vessels. We're all flawed. We all have cracks. Some of us have been cracked by sin. Some are broken by regret. Some of us are empty from searching. But the good news is, Jesus is the treasure that fills the vessel. Jesus is the treasure that fills the vessel. And the really, really cool part, I know I've been talking about the good stuff, but the really cool part about a cracked and broken vessel is that they leak. They leak. Like that little boy's bucket. Let the love of Jesus leak out of you. If you see somebody that's having a bad day, don't compound their bad day by adding to it. giving them a hard time. Give them a little grace. If Jesus is in your vessel, he ought to leak out everywhere we go. Because number one, salvation is not about becoming perfect. It's about receiving Christ. Today you might feel like something of a fragile vessel, but I want you to know that God himself wants to place his treasure inside of you. And if you trust Christ this morning, he will in fact forgive you. He'll fill you up. He'll give you eternal life. Here's the really, really, really cool part. Jesus does not discard broken people. He redeems them, fills them with his treasure. Bow your head. If you're here today and you're planning on being baptized, right now would be a great time for you to head to the bathroom and get your baptismal clothes on, get prepared for that. As soon as we're done with this, we will baptize you if you're here today. Father, I thank you for this people. I thank you, Lord, for this message. That even though we seem fragile, even though we feel cracked and broken and all those kinds of things, Lord, you love us. You have a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And I believe that, Lord, you're speaking this morning to people that feel like they're fragile, feel like you don't want to place your treasure in, but, Lord, that's contrary. You will forgive. You will fill it. You do give us eternal life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying, let me ask you this question. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus, but today I want to accept him. I want to make heaven my home. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all, say, Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. Maybe you're here today and you say you accepted the Lord at some point, but because you begin to recognize some fractures and some cracks, some flaws in your vessel, made a self-determination that you're of no value, begin to wander, begin to slide away, slip away from the presence and the walk of the Lord. Today you recognize, you know what, maybe I'm not as bad as I thought. Maybe there is hope for me. That's you today. You say, you know what? I'd like to just recommit my life to Jesus Christ. I want to do over today for God. That's you today. I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up because I want to pray. I don't want you leaving here today wondering, what if? What if? That's you today. Don't wait. Slip your hand up. Say, Preacher, pray for me. Yes, ma'am. Somebody else. Say, Preacher, that's me. Are you here? Come on. Yes, ma'am. I see your hand. Somebody else today. Say, Preacher, I'm not leaving this place. I believe God wants to put his treasure in me today so that I can go leak it out all over town. Anybody else today, say, Preacher, that's me. I need you. If you're here today and you raise your hand over, I want you to just come see me right here. If you do that, come on. Come on. Come on.
I was shocked.
Amen.
A load of guilt.
Help me to never lose sight of what you've done for me.